Redbox Media Programming is brought to you by Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com. Woodhill Community Center. Have a hand in the heart of the city. Support their mission with your donations at woodhillcommunitycenter.org. Toyota on Nicholasville Superstore. Online consultants are standing by right now to help you find your next Toyota. Visit toyotaonnicholasville.com. Lexus of Lexington, home of the best-selling Lexus IS. Find yours today at lexusoflexington.com.
Welcome back to another episode of Lisa Hendy and Friends. So happy to be with you this week. Actually, I feel like I'm with you and I am with you, but my body is actually all the way over in Kenya. As you're listening to this, I'm probably just about coming out of my sleep deprivation from the very long journey over to Nairobi. And I can't wait to share during the next week some great sound seeing tidbits with you from this amazing journey. As you know, I've shared in the last couple episodes that I'm traveling with my friends at Unbound on a sponsor awareness trip. And while I'm not personally sponsoring a friend in Kenya, I'll be traveling with a group of about 20 sponsors and getting to meet their sponsored friends and really seeing the work that's being done by Unbound in Kenya. So stay tuned for that. If you want to follow along on my journey, definitely check out all my social media at Lisa Hendy, or just check out hashtag Unbound Awareness. I'm sorry, that's the wrong hashtag. Hashtag Unbound Adventure. I should edit this, but you know, to tell you the truth, I'm scrambling around today as I record this. It's Ash Wednesday. It's Valentine's Day. My day started really early and I'm packing and just scurrying around because the trip that I'm getting ready to take off on tomorrow will have me in so many different places I can barely count them, and my head is just scattered. So you're just going to have to deal with the fact that I can't edit this podcast. So how are you doing? How's your Lent going? I by this point in my own Lenten journey, if I reflect on what I'll be feeling like a week from now, have already begun to make some kind of compromises in my head about this Lenten journey of mine and what I've selected from this year for my fasting and almsgiving and my prayer devotions that I want to be doing. The truth is that Lent in my mind is really all about journeying closer to Jesus. And so you're not going to find me doing stuff like giving up particular, you know, maybe like chocolate or something like that, although that might be good for me. I'm not intentionally fasting from those kinds of things this year. I don't usually talk about what I fast from, but I'm confident this year that the fast that I've selected is going to bring me closer to Jesus. And in the end, that's what I'm looking for during this Lenten season, that by the time we journey to Easter, my heart will just be a little bit more pure and my love will be a little bit more generous and my soul will be a little closer to Jesus Christ. So that's what I'm aiming for. So how are you doing with your Lenten journey? What's up with you, and what's challenging? What are you enjoying? Have you given up by now? If so, I encourage you to kind of let today be the day that you reset, that you begin to look at what Lenten specifically means to you. And, you know, don't worry about what everyone else is doing. Don't worry about other people's, you know, perfect Lenten fasts or all the things that you think you're not doing that you should be doing to compare yourself with other people. Keep your eye on yourself, your own soul, your own heart, your own love, and Jesus. So that's it. That's Lisa's little pep talk. We'll see how I'm feeling when I listen back to this next week. Before we head into the next segment, I do want to encourage you that I'd love for you to be a part of this show. And definitely, you know, I'm really enjoying hearing from you. It's very helpful if you could subscribe at iTunes and leave us a review, or go on over and follow me on Podbean. Definitely want you to also check out my friends at Breadbox Media, who are doing not only my show, but every week it's like they add new and awesome shows to their lineup. So I'm so thrilled to be be a part of what's going on over there. Well, now we're going to dive into this, the kind of meat and bones of this week's podcast, which is an interview with author and all-around amazing guy, Michael Horn. Dr. Horn is an author of a brand new book from OSV. You'll hear all his credentials as we step into the interview. I hope you enjoy this and that it's a blessing to you and your family. Let's head right into that interview now. On this week's podcast episode, While My Body Is in Kenya, our podcast is here in the United States, and I'm so happy to be joined today by someone who maybe can help us to embrace and kind of understand a little bit more the beauty of that technology and our relationship to it in our own lives, and especially in our family lives. So joining me today on the podcast is Dr. Michael Horn, who is a clinical psychologist and currently serving as the director of clinical services for Catholic Charities in the Diocese of Arlington. And he has been there since 2012. And as part of his practice, Dr. Horn has been working with families who struggle with this idea of the balance of technology in their lives. And that's led to a fantastic book. And so today we welcome Dr. Michael Horn to talk about this great new book from our Sunday visitor, The Tech Talk, Strategies for Families in a Digital World. So hello, Dr. Horn, Michael, and welcome to the show.
Thanks, Lisa. It's great to be here with you.
So I'm really curious because this is a book that I've been waiting to come for a while. I speak on this topic a lot, too, and it's one I'm really inspired by. Kind of what motivated you to write this particular book, The Tech Talk?
Well, it was two things, really. One, just from a professional sense, I was starting to see more parents come into my office at Catholic Charities and say, we don't want to live in a cave, but we feel like we need help and guidance on how to incorporate technology into our family in a way that really fits with our Catholic belief and is a way that can be supportive of our kids. So from a professional side, I took it that way. But the kicker for me really was being a parent of three kids in this day and age. It was fascinating to me to see how sensitive kids are just to technology in general. And one of the first things that I opened the book with, probably about 6 years ago, our son, who now is eight at the time, was he and I were playing, and I think we were having a pretend picnic with his stuffed animals. And he took this wooden banana, and he holds the banana up to his head, and he says, "Hi, Daddy, how are you?" Well, I'm thinking, okay, banana phone, sure, why not? So I put my pinky up to my head, and I start playing along. And I said, "Oh, I'm great, son. You having a good time?" And he said, "Yeah." And all of a sudden, he takes the banana, and he points at me, and he says, "Say cheese, click."
Oh.
And I said, "Wait, what did you just do?" He said, "Oh, I took your picture." And then he starts swiping his finger across the banana, and he says, "Hold on, I'll text it to you." Now, this was a two-year-old living in a house where there were no smartphones. He had seen a smartphone maybe two or three times. He'd never held one, and he hadn't seen it for more than maybe 5 minutes. But just how sensitive and how aware kids are to technology, I thought, okay, we really have to, as parents, be aware of what the impact is of technology on our kids and what they expect as normal in the world. What does it say about relationships? What does it say about the way that we communicate if everything suddenly is now mediated through technology?
Well, as one who has raised two sons, I thank you, because this is a book I wish I would have had like back when they were little ones holding their banana phones. But I think it's interesting that the title of the book is The Tech Talk. Now, as one who, you know, works for a publisher and knows how titling works, I know sometimes, you know, the title is just a glimpse into it. In reality, isn't this and not one tech talk that you're talking to in the book, but really a lifetime of conversations? Like, we're not going to get off with just having the talk one time and then be done with it, right?
No. I think a lot of people wish they could have the talk at one time and then everybody say it's all fine. But no, you're absolutely right. This is something that, you know, this is just the world that we live in. So, you know, we have to be, and as parents, as families, making really mindful decisions of how we incorporate this in our lives in the same way that, you know, we have to make informed decisions on what we eat and what healthy relationships look like and what an appropriate use of a car is. This isn't something that you would just say to your teenager, okay, drive safe. Good. Okay, we've talked about that. It's really an ongoing conversation to say, what do we want our family to look like? And while we focus a lot on technology, and in the book I talk a lot about it, what's underlying all this is an invitation to really look at our family relationships and draw closer in a genuine encounter. When we're spending time involved in technology, what aren't we doing instead? Are we missing opportunities to really connect and be engaged as families?
I love that. I think you've been looking ahead at my notes on things that I want to talk about. And I think that leads me to another question, which is, I think we have listeners who are not necessarily parents, but just about everybody out there lives in a family of some kind, either a son or a daughter of someone or an uncle or aunt of someone. And so, you know, we all have the ability to influence other people's behaviors on this. But one thing that I was thinking about when I was reading the book is really that in order for me to be effective in my role as a parent on this topic, I have to look really closely at my own behavior. I can kind of set a good example for my sons or my husband, I have to do a little house cleaning on my own. And in the book, you don't necessarily talk about, you know, necessarily banning technology, but kind of modifying our behavior. So what's a good place to start, you know, along with the book and kind of looking at our own assessment of our use of technology?
I think it's like you said, we want to take a good look at what is it that I do? What do I take for granted? And I find that the best way to really go and examine how we use technology or anything is to take a break from it. And it's when we have time away from something that we can really go and look at how much it impacted our lives. I mean, part of the analogy, at Lent, I think most people will give up sweets for Lent. And I've been accused of putting a ridiculous amount of sugar in my tea. And it's true. And I've ruined cups of teas for years and years and years. I never really noticed how sweet my tea is until Easter Monday. When I go and I start, you know, having tea again, I think, gosh, I put 2 tablespoons of tea in this cup of sugar in this cup of tea. This is probably more than I need to. But it's because I had that gap to get away from things, to go, maybe I should make a change. The same is true with technology. If we are just wrapped up in it, if we're always on our phone, if we're always on our tablet, if we're always online, it just becomes normal. And I think it's very easy to just get caught up in the normalcy of that and just assume that this is the way that things are and should be.
So, Michael, I agree with you that you can cut back on sugar in your tea for 40 days. And at the same time, ask me if I can do without my cell phone for one day. And I might beg to differ. So how do we find that balancing act between using these tools, you know, that we need to function professionally, to encounter our families, you know, for all the good things that we use them for, and then what becomes kind of an abusive pattern, and how can we kind of fast from technology without, you know, getting fired at work?
That's a really good point. I mean, obviously, when we talk about a technology fast, I don't think I could get away with coming in to work one day and saying, okay, boss, all those emails that you send me, I'm just not going to respond for a while. It's more in our personal life of making really prudent decisions to say, what are the boundaries? So one simple thing that I find very helpful is, and this is something that's worked for our family, right when you come in the door, we've got a table with a basket. And that's where my keys go, that's where my wallet goes, it's where my smartphone goes, and it's also where our tablet stays. So it's not just on me. So that way I have to go, and if I want to use it for something, I physically have to go over, I've got to stand up, walk across the room, pick it up. And all of our chargers are over there too, so that's where everything stays. So there's a little bit of distance between me and whatever the device is. Similarly, one of the things that we've chosen to do is that our TV actually lives in a box. And, you know, it comes out if we want to watch something, and we put it back when we're done. Just like if I'm playing a board game, I take the game out of the box when I want to play, and when I'm done, I put it away. Or, you know, if I'm making waffles, the waffle maker comes out, I make the waffles, I clean the waffle maker, and I put it away. So rather than just have things out in the open or have things sort of centrally located where you just pick things up or it's just there, to actually have a little bit of space and say, all right, when I go and do this, am I doing it because I really need to, or is it just a habit? Like walking into a room and just turning the TV on just because that's what we do when we find the noise comforting. Rather than do that, say, okay, what are the times that I really want to go ahead and use technology in a way that is going to be most helpful, rather than just doing it by default.
I like that. I kind of liken it to, I use an app called MyFitnessPal to document my my food choices. And I have this little rule for myself that before I put it in my mouth, I have to put it into my app, which often serves as behavior modification when you actually look up the
sure.
calories for something. And same thing with technology. You know, if you have to make that walk across the room, if you find yourself wearing a path to that basket that your technology is based in, you might kind of start to question your behavior a little bit. So this book really looks at kind of practical tips and centers around three particular areas: social media, gaming, and then the P word, pornography, that everyone always thinks, oh, I don't want to necessarily want to talk about that. But you kind of give equal weight to these three, and I'm sure that comes from your kind of clinical perspective. I'd like to kind of jump into the second one, into gaming. So I think that it's interesting when we look at today's generation of parents that we probably maybe for the first time have parents who themselves were gamers as youth. So talk a little bit about why that was an important thing to look at in this book.
Well, there are a couple of reasons why I chose that. Actually, when I got my doctorate, I actually did my dissertation on violent video games and the impact that had on compassion on people who play the games. And a lot of the research out there, including my own, has found that if you are exposing yourself to a lot of violent video games, it can actually have a negative impact on your view of healthy relationships, your levels of aggression or frustration. So, you know, to take it back, I think maybe a generation ago, we were always very concerned about violent movies, violent TV, and what you watch and what you see and what you expose yourself to. But I started thinking about 15 years ago, all right, if we get all concerned about the quality, the quantity of violence that we are watching on TV and movies, that's passive. What's the impact when people are actually pushing the buttons that cause the violence over and over and over again? And might that have an impact? And part of why I chose to focus on this in the book is the high levels of popularity for violent games, M-rated games. In fact, if you look over the last 5 or 6 years, the most popular game in terms of sales in this country has been an M-rated game each of those years. And these are not just things that are marketed at adults. Most kids, when you ask them, will list an M-rated game as one of their favorite games to play, even though it's outside of their age range for what's approved for the electronics software rating board, the ESRB ratings.
And let's admit it, that probably I do a lot of work with promoting movies, and I know that there are decisions made in the direction of movies to actually incorporate particular elements, not to have a G rating. They want to bump it up to PG because they know that'll sell more. And I imagine that the same happens in the gaming world. So any kind of maybe one little practical tip on if you've got a gamer in the house, something that along with reading the Tech Talk by Dr. Michael Horn, what's a good kind of positive solution that can be undertaken in our homes?
I think a good positive solution would be for parents to really be aware of the content of the game, so they're knowing what's going on what their kids are playing. But also, I think we really do need to pay attention to the fact that not every kid is going to be the same. Not every kid is going to respond the same to video games. Some kids really get riled up by playing video games. Some kids can tolerate a little bit more. So I've had parents ask me before, you know, in my clinical practice, how much is too much in terms of video games? How many hours should I let my kid play a video game? And the truth is, there is no cut and dried answer. It's closer to, if you have a kid who is gluten intolerant, how much cake is too much cake? It really depends. And you might have a kid who does fine on gluten, and you might have a kid who doesn't. So for parents to understand, what's the threshold for my child, or what's the threshold for me? If I play for an hour and then get really irritable and I'm snapping at people, maybe that's an indication that this might not be the best thing for me.
I like that. And it makes me think of Pope Francis and the Pope who tweets as much as he does, that, he's constantly talking to us about accompaniment and the relational aspects of everything in our lives, including this use of technology. To transition into the kind of third prong, the pornography elements, the advice that you offer in this book, one thing that's sort of clear to me as a viewer of entertainment nowadays is that while I would not say that I view pornography, it's a slippery slope nowadays if you're watching certain shows on television, you know, that we could actually kind of be being exposed to things that we wouldn't pick up in an app or a magazine, but now suddenly it's displayed all over our TV sets. Am I on target with
right.
that?
No, I think you are, especially when you start to see original programming put out by streaming sites, Netflix, Amazon Prime, things like that, you're actually having more access to stuff that really wouldn't be considered appropriate for broadcast on, say, you know, regular network television. So I do think, kind of like you said earlier, where movies will go and actually add stuff to increase from a G rating to a PG rating, or from a PG-13 rating, maybe to an R rating to generate a little bit more attention. The same is true for a lot of the streaming sites, HBO, things like that, will go and add more stuff in there just to make it edgier and to push the envelope in a way that really isn't particularly healthy, I think, for any of us.
And so, you know, aside from checking out the resources that our kids are using, like I know that a lot of kids these days are looking at YouTube and other places like this. What other advice do you have for parents on kind of protecting our kids from things that we wouldn't want them to see, such as pornography?
Well, certain things you can do are very practical, like ask yourself, where are the screens in your house? So if you have all the screens in central areas, that sends a clear message that, look, whatever you're launching, we're assuming is going to be appropriate for anybody to look at. Because if you need to hide something, then that makes me question whether or not this is something you should be watching. So similarly, I really think we need to be very cautious about letting kids have internet accessible devices in their bedrooms with the doors closed, especially after 10. There's really nothing anybody needs to look at after 10. Or in the bathroom. I don't understand why you would take an expensive piece of electronic equipment into a bathroom where there's just a lot of water. It just doesn't seem like a particularly good idea. So openness, making sure that there's a clear understanding that, look, you know, we do want to have a clear understanding of what it is that we're consuming as a family. But most importantly is that we want to make sure that we have a strong enough relationship so that we can talk to kids about the dignity of the person, to understand not just what is a problem, but why is it a problem? Do they understand not just sort of from a blanket sense that pornography is bad, but do they understand that pornography really is an affront against our dignity as created in God's image and likeness, and the incredible detriment that it can have on our understanding of ourselves, on our understanding of relationships? And the research has shown that kids who are exposed to pornography, it is really problematic for their view of healthy relationships and healthy marriages.
Well, the wisdom that you're sharing, Michael, is just so, I think, representative of what folks will find in this great book from our Sunday visitor, The Tech Talk. And one thing that I always look for in a book about technology is not sort of like click this button or install this filter or whatever. Those things will change. So, you know, we don't necessarily want to look at a book like this to see, you know, here's how to childproof your iPhone. But what's covered here are sort of these very timely and timeless tactics, and getting always back to this idea of the relational aspect of our parenting journey, you know, how we use these tools to bring ourselves closer to one another and to God ultimately. So I do want to recommend The Tech Talk, Strategies for Families in a Digital World by Dr. Michael Horn. That Horn has an E on the end, H-O-R-N-E. We'll have links in our show notes. Michael, before we let you go, is there anything, any additional comments that you want to share? Any last minute recommendations for everybody out there listening?
The most important thing I can say is, no matter where you are and no matter what sort of decisions you've made before or what you found yourself involved with, your kids involved with, there's always hope. There's always an ability to go and make things different. And in writing this book, what I really was trying to do was start a conversation for families to say, do we like how we use technology? And if we don't, how do we move in a direction that actually we do like, so that we could be closer as a family and truly enjoy the people in our lives around us?
Well, I'd say mission accomplished. One cool thing about this book is that every chapter does end with reflection questions. So this particular book makes for a great group study. I could see this being used at parishes or in moms clubs or different places where people get together to talk about one of the most important things in our lives, and that's the gift of our families. Michael Horn, we thank you so much for your time today on Lisa Hendy and Friends. Where can people get a hold of you if they want to learn more about your work or reach out?
They can go ahead and check out my website, theduckeffect.com.
Theduckeffect.com.
And all my contact information is theduckeffect.com. That's right.
Okay, I'm going to go over there just because I want to know what that name is all about.
Sounds good. Yeah, there's a good story behind it. I hope you enjoy it.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. I hope I can have you back on again sometime. And until then, I'll be really enjoying reading and sharing this book. Everybody should check it out, The Tech Talk from Michael Horn. God bless, Michael.
Thanks, Lisa. It's been a pleasure.
Michael Horn for his visiting with us on this great book, The Tech Talk, Strategies for Families in a Digital World. And I know that this is going to be something that's going to be super helpful to you, so be sure to check it out. We'll have links in our show notes, or you can just head over to your local Catholic bookstore, to Amazon, or to osv.com to get a hold of The Tech Talk. And then, hey, why not have the talk and let me know how it goes for you? So, I'm going to cut the show a little shorter this week because it's time for me to go finish packing those bags. And again, by the time you're hearing this, I'm going to be well into my journey to Kenya. I'm hoping to also get some recordings this week from the Columbus Catholic Women's Conference. And I want to thank my friends there for what I know is going to be an amazing experience. So thanks to all the ladies there. Hopefully I'll have a snippet of, or maybe even the entire recording of, the talk that I'm giving there. So if you could keep those ladies in your prayers. By the time you hear this, the conference will be over and they'll already be at work on next year's conference. And definitely a huge shout out to my friends in Columbus, and thanks for the invitation. Again, you can follow me in Kenya by following my social media at Lisa Hendy. That's LisaHendey. Or just check out hashtag Unbound Adventure. And be sure, definitely, friends, to pray about your involvement or potential involvement with the amazing organization Unbound. You can learn more about their work at unbound.org. www.lisahendianfriends.org. So until next week, I hope you are having a fabulous week. Thank you for being my friend, and thanks for listening to this show. Until next time, God bless everybody. Have a great week.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media. Find more about us at breadboxmedia.com.